Your Bibles open at Matthew chapter 1. We're going to just briefly, not as long as a normal sermon would be, we're going to think about just some things that come out of this opening chapter of Matthew's Gospel. You've got to say that it is an unusual start to a Gospel, to a life story of Jesus Christ, the unique man, God. It's an unusual way to start a story, to list 42 generations, basically 42 names, one after another, to give the family tree. With the first 14 of those names, there is a building sense of excitement that the king is coming. God is going to give the nation a king, and there's anticipation that this king will one day reign. Then comes the greatest of all the kings, David. And it seems that David is no longer, he's in the second 14. It seems that David is no longer installed, and things begin to go on the slide again. And the kings begin to disappoint one after another. You know, it's like at Christmas time when you get the present that disappoints. The clothes that don't fit, the perfume or aftershave that just isn't you, or the gadget that you think, I just don't need that. And you wonder, what am I going to do with this? We can be disappointed with our gifts, and there is that sense of disappointment with the kings as they come along one by one. And then the last 14 names, once the kings have been removed, well, we don't really know hardly anything about any of them. So much so that the last man on the list of 42 names is Joseph, who's not a king but a carpenter. Not that there's anything wrong with being a carpenter, but there's just that sense of, really, is this what the royal line has come to? And there's disappointment. But then we come to verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. The word Christ means anointed. Kings were anointed with oil for office. It marked them out that this was the ruler. So here is now, with the birth of Jesus Christ, here is a new start. Here is a king of a different order. Here's a new creation, if you like, about to begin. A king who will succeed where all other kings have failed. And I want to answer just two questions this morning. What will this king do? And what will this king be? What will he do? And what will he be? First of all, what will this king do? And the Jews were looking in Bible times, and this was the theme of Jewish history, they were looking for a political king. They were looking for a king who would be a military leader, a national savior who would set up a fully independent Jewish homeland. And eventually their hope was that they would expand out from Israel and rule the world. That was the Jewish desire. That was the hope. That was the dream. But look what was said about Jesus Christ in verse 21, God's gift of a king, where Joseph was told, call his name Jesus, for he will save his people, not from the Romans or the Babylonians who are mentioned earlier, or the Assyrians or the Egyptians or the Chinese or whoever it might have been. Call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And you go back to the start of Matthew's Gospel and those 42 names, and you will discover earlier in the chapter that every single one of them was a sinner. No matter how important or unimportant they were all sinners. Abraham, for example, the father of the nation in many ways, lied to get himself off the hook a number of times. Jacob was a cheat. Rahab was a prostitute. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Uzziah was proud. Manasseh was a murderer. Some of us have been enjoying the new TV series, All Creatures Great and Small, and I think there's maybe a Christmas special coming up. But when you look at the history of the people, it's all sinners, great and small. And the problem with being a sinner is that the wages of sin is death. And that's why when Jesus was born, all of these names before him, apart from Mary and Joseph, they're all dead. They're all gone. They all needed, you see, a savior, someone to save them from their sins. Well, call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And so this is the good news, and this is the hope of Christmas, that God, when he looked at the human race, he saw that our greatest need was not politics. So he didn't send us a politician. Praise the Lord for that. Our greatest need wasn't health advice, so he didn't send us a government health advisor. Our greatest need wasn't an entertainment time, so he didn't send us a comedian, nor was it finance. He didn't send us an accountant. Our greatest need was salvation from our sins, so he sent us a savior. He shall save his people from their sins. That's what you need today, to be saved from your sins. And the second question, that's what he will do. What will this king be? And the answer is found in verse 23. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That's the literal meaning of that Hebrew word Emmanuel. God with us. El is the word for God. God with us. Now think how when a royal visitor comes to town, they normally only stay a short time. They have a round of engagements. They do an hour here and an hour there. They maybe stay a night or two at Hillsborough Castle, and then they're gone. So brief and short term was their visit. But here's a king who comes to stay. A king who brings divinity to earth, who unites earth with divinity. Humanity and divinity are joined together in him, this king now born in a stable. Normally, royal babies are born in the plushest and the poshest of hospitals. I understand the one that's used by our royal family in London. If you go there as a patient, it will cost you somewhere in the region of £10,000 a night. How shocking it would be if a royal prince or an heir to the throne was born in a stable. Yet when God's king came amongst us to be with us, that's exactly how it was. Because the message, you know what that message of that was? God is accessible. He didn't come to be high and mighty amongst us in the palaces and in the high places of government where we couldn't go. He came to make himself accessible. And today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord, said the angel to the shepherds, to the farmhands, to the men who were living out in the fields. And when they got to Bethlehem, the birthplace of kings, they found Mary and Joseph, the baby, lying in a manger. No wonder they spread the word that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Princes has come. No one can say that God is inaccessible. No one can say they can't find God, because God has come. God has visited, and God has lived amongst us. So let me ask you today, have you ever received God's gift of Jesus Christ into your life? Because it's lovely singing the words of the carols that go up on the screen and listening to the music group and the musicians leading us and singing about Jesus Christ, but he didn't come to be the subject of a few Christmas carols. to warm our hearts at a cold time of year. He came to be something, and he came to do something. He came to die on a cross to take away our sins, to take the punishment for them, and he came to be our Savior. In the hymn, "There is a green hill far away," Mrs. Alexander puts it like this: "He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood." That's what he came to do. Or I was listening the other day, I was in a shop and the Johnny Mathis hit was going on, "When a Child is Born." And the chorus goes like this: "A child that will grow up and turn tears to laughter, hate to love, war to peace, and everyone to everyone's neighbor, and misery and suffering will be words to be forgotten forever." And I thought, you know, the sentiments of that are describing the kingdom of God that this king has come to bring us into. Where hate has turned to love, where war has turned to peace, where everyone has turned to their neighbor, and where misery and suffering are forgotten forever. Does that not sound good? But you must receive him. This doesn't happen automatically. You must allow him to come into your heart, open the door of your heart. The Christ who died for your sins to save you on judgment day that is to come. And if you invite him in, receive him, believe on him as your Savior and your Lord, he will be your Savior. And goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And you'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what he came to do. And that's what he came to be. The Lord with us forever. I wonder, will that be you? Will you know this Lord forever? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for what Jesus came to do and what Jesus came to be. Help us, we pray, Lord, to look to him and to know the joy of him being